You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Humans of Speedway, and in this episode we look towards the future with one of the rising stars of the Speedway world. In his short time in the UK, he's won back-to-back League and Cup titles with the Poole Pirates, and in 2024 he'll be the Pirates captain. Very pleased to welcome to Humans of Speedway, Ben Cook.
I bought an engine just before I went back home up to last year for the Aussie titles and pulled it out of the box and put it back in, labelled it up to send home, and that was the last I seen of it. I didn't even get to use it, so it's the worst nightmare, but obviously invested in the little Apple AirTags there, just a peace of mind. If it does go missing, you know where it is at least.
We're going to get to find out more about the life of the Poole Pirates captain, what he gets up to when he's not on the Speedway track, the journey that Australian riders have to go on in order to find a club place in Europe to further their careers. And he'll also tell us about his dream Speedway meeting as well, including who'd make his all-time 1-7. All on the way in this episode of Humans of Speedway. Welcome to another episode of Humans of Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan, and looking forward to chatting with our guest in this episode, Ben Cook, and talking about what it's like moving from one side of the world to the other as a young guy trying to make your way in Speedway and all the things that are involved. Before we crack on with that, though, a little bit of news for you regarding this podcast. All episodes are now available on YouTube in audio format. We haven't put like the full videos on because you don't want to look at my face for an hour each time, do you? But we have got some clips on there, so follow our YouTube channel. Search for Humans of Speedway on YouTube. Follow that, because the podcast will be all on there, and some clips as well of our interviews, because the clips kind of work better than the whole thing in Vision, to be honest, certainly from my workload point of view. So they're on there now. Look out for that. And of course, it will continue to be on all other podcast apps as well. Some big episodes coming up. Like or subscribe on whichever app you listen to this on, because you don't want to miss the episodes coming up, certainly between now and Christmas in 2023 and into 2024 as well. Some big names. I can't understate how big the names are, right? I will tell you a little later on who they are, but some juicy stuff. But let's crack on with Ben Cook then. Ben has been a part of the Poole Pirates for the last few years, back-to-back League and Cup winner in the Championship in 2021 and 2022. 2023, Poole Pirates, of course, won the BSN Series. Just fell slightly short of the League and Cup in 23, and in 2024, Ben Cook will be the captain of the Poole Pirates. So a big promotion for him there that he was not aware of at the time of recording this interview, hence why we don't mention it. He also had his first season in the top league of British Speedway, the Sports Insure Premiership, where he raced for the Peterborough Panthers and was one of the standout youngsters in that league as well, without a shadow of doubt. So we start off by talking to Ben about that first season in the top league. He's had to wait a little while. His visa wouldn't allow him to double up. Had to bide his time, and then eventually got his chance, and boy, has he taken it.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on here. But the visas are they're a nightmare for us Aussie boys. I had a couple of opportunities that I could have guested for the that last year, but my visa, I was still on a different kind of visa, and my brother Zach was on a newer one, and on the newer one, it allows you to guest or ride in the top league, and yeah, my one, it wouldn't allow me to, so it was kind of frustrating, you know, having an opportunity maybe to show what I could do, and I couldn't do it. So yeah, you know, it was obviously tough, because then at the end of the year, I obviously wanted to ride in the top league, and yeah, they hadn't really seen, you know, how I would go against those boys, and it was a bit of a risk, but yeah, I've really enjoyed it this year. Obviously, it's a bit of a shame that Peterborough, you know, is no more, and yeah, it was a great track, great club and stadium, really, and it was good, and I'm thankful for them, you know, for allowing me to get into that top league and show what I can do.
And it's great that you're here now, and I'm sure that you will be another star in 2024 in both leagues as well. Let's talk about you and where you came from. And you're from a place called Cowra in Australia, which I've had a look, and it's sort of out in the middle of nowhere there, Ben. Sort of outside Sydney, but a fair way out, like a good 3 or 4 hour journey out, a long, long way. I mean, you know, in the UK, you'd be in an entirely different region, let alone sort of a suburb. So talk to us about growing up there, because, you know, as I say, you're out in the sticks a little bit, and how Speedway came about for you. But you come from an area of Australia, New South Wales, which has produced some, you know, big names in Speedway over the years. Darcy Ward, Chris Holder, Jack Holder, of course, now, Jason Crump from that area as well. So it's an area that's well-versed in bringing Speedway talent to our attentions.
Yeah, well, I started pretty much when I was about 4 years old on like a little Peewee 50, and yeah, and then it kept kind of going from there. I raced like the flat track bikes, the dirt track bikes, pretty much my whole life, you know, tracing around the country, many miles, and yeah, I've done that, you know, till I was probably, just before I come to England, really. Yeah, that's where it pretty well started, being on a bike. Yeah, won many Aussie titles and state titles on that, and then, yeah, when the junior kind of speedway kind of come up, you know, Brady and Jack and Max Frick, and there was a couple other boys were, you know, they were just probably a couple of years older than me, and they were into that and doing that, and I kind of had a go on that and really liked it. It's one of them things, you know, it looks so easy, but it's really not, and, you know, even with experience from racing bikes my whole life, it was a new thing, and yeah, so I kind of got into that, and you know, there's not meetings every week. It's, you know, maybe once a month if you're lucky. And, yeah, kind of done a few of them and liked it. And then I got onto the bigger one. There weren't 250s back when I was there. There were 350s. And, yeah, done that for a few years and then got onto the 500. And, yeah, it is tough to kind of keep progressing fast in Aussie, you know, there's not a whole lot of opportunity to race back in the day. I mean, there is more nowadays, but back then, you know, it wasn't, you know, you have to travel a long way to have a ride, you know, there was probably one at Nepean, you know, that was our closest near Sydney there. And then, other than that, you're traveling 6-8 hours for a meeting. And, so that was what we had to do. And, yeah, is to get a visa, you know, to come over here, you have to be in I think it was top four in the state title to be eligible for a visa. And then once you've got that, you know, you can then try and find a club over here. And that in itself is a mission, you know. You had the boys coming back from England at that stage, and they were all wanting to ride the state title. So to get in the final was a big challenge in itself. So yeah, you had to show that you could do it to be eligible to get that visa, and I eventually got that. And yeah, Matt Ford ended up messaging me and asking me if I would be interested in coming over here to pool. And yeah, that's kind of where it all started, really.
Yeah, and the rest is history, as they say. But the scene in Australia, it's all about kind of one-off events, isn't it? There's not league racing. It's, yeah, you've got the championships, but other than that, they're, you know, it's like the Jason Lyons Trophy or the Rob Woffenden Cup and these kind of events, which are a bit of a festival of speedway. You've got the different categories, so you'll have, you know, like the juniors, the 250s, the 500s, they call it the solos, which is, you know, the individuals, but also the sidecars as well, of course. And the sidecars involve two guys, or indeed, I don't know, females as well involved. And, you know, that is also, that's a separate conversation, sidecars, isn't it? Which we do see occasionally over here on a speedway track, because they go the opposite way round.
Yeah, no, they normally got the juniors and then the 250s and then us, and then sometimes the sidecars are on as well. So it's a big day, and it's a big couple of days sometimes. And yeah, the track definitely gets a workout with the sidecars going around the opposite way. And that used to be a bit of a curveball back in the day. You know, you'd be on the same time as the sidecars and the track would be a bit rough. And yeah, it really, you know, we had some tough conditions sometimes when those boys were out on the track. So, yeah, so obviously we learnt to really ride the bike. And, but yeah, like you say, it's, there's a bit of a, you know, everything, you know, in one kind of meeting sometimes.
And we think speedway's, you know, maybe a slightly crazy sport, but you look at sidecars and all that, it's you know, sometimes takes it up an extra notch, doesn't it? Have you ever thought about having a go on one, Ben?
Yeah, it's I don't know if I'd be really game to get on one, but they're a bit of a backyard build, some of them, but yeah, they've got some power, them things, and sound pretty cool. But yeah, like you say, you got to be. I know there's some people say we've got to be half mad to do what we do, but those boys take the cake, I think, sometimes. And, yeah, they're a different breed.
So, yeah, they certainly are. Let's go back to this conversation then about, you know, getting that visa and getting your opportunity to ride in the UK. You need to finish in the top few of the your state championships. And, of course, there's different states around Australia. You're in New South Wales. Previous winners, I mean, the last winner for the last, what, five times is Jack Holder. Rowan Tungate, Brady Kurtz, Sam Masters, Chris Holder, Todd Wiltshire going back in time as well to throw some other names into it. Have all won this. That's, of course, winning it. So this is the tournament you need to finish high up in to initially get that first opportunity and that first visa to give you that ticket to come and ride in British Speedway and follow in the footsteps of some of those riders.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're out in New South Wales there. It's some really, you know, strong competition, like I was saying before, to get the visas, you know, in the top four and that, and, you know, you got the likes of, like you say, the Holder boys and Brady and Tungay, Pickering, you know, all them boys come home and want to race it. And you've been home all year and you've done probably six meetings max and you've got to try and get a top four. It's tough against that, you know, and sometimes you got to travel around and do some different state titles to get that visa. But, yeah, it's... it is very strong competition, and for the Aussie title series, you know, it's probably one of the strongest lineups, you know, around, other than, you know, the GP series, really, in my opinion. It's a world-class field.
Certainly is going to be this year, isn't it? Very strong indeed when you look at the riders competing. It's going to be a who's who of Australian Speedway. So once you've got your... you've got the visa and all that, and you finish in the top four. Is that it then? Are you all right for a number of years, or do you have to, obviously, you're going back to Australia now, are you going to have to then finish in the top four again to be able to come back here?
Yeah, I don't have to, no, because, I mean, you have to get someone to know who really knows more about it, but I'm not really up on it. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure because I've held, I think it's a 5 or a 6 point average, I mean, when you get your visa, I think it lasts 3 or 4 years, and then if you don't hold that certain average in that after that fourth year, you need to then try and get another state title. But yeah, because I've held my average of what needs to be done, I'm pretty sure I'm sweet, so I don't have to worry about it. which is good. One other thing you don't have to worry about. So, yeah, it's there's a lot to it with all the visa stuff. It's a nightmare sometimes.
But it is opportunity as well. And, you know, if you finish in that top four and you're an Australian rider, they're going to be battling out for that because obviously not only is the title online, but these opportunities to come and ride in Europe, come and ride in Great Britain at the very least, requires you to do well in these tournaments. So, you know, it's really about progressing your further career as well. Do you think that we'll be seeing some new names over in the UK as a result of these Australian championships? Some of those riders then qualify and then here you are. You're all of a sudden an option for a team manager or a promoter in the UK.
Yeah, good question, to be honest. I know there's a few boys up in Queensland around, you know, with the Darcy's been helping, but yeah, I mean, even some of these boys that are over in Poland doing the under 24 league and stuff like that, they don't even have a visa, so they can't even race in England. So, I mean, I think some of them boys should be really pressing to try and get a visa and to get over here. And to me, in my opinion, I think it's a good idea that you have to be in kind of that top four, because if you're not, I mean, it's not cheap to come over here, and if you're running back of the pack and not many points, you know, it can start really costing into you. So I feel, you know, if you're not up to that kind of standard, and that's where you have to be to make it all work, really, in my eyes. So I mean, there is a few boys, like I said, over there that probably are the next in line, but yeah, it is a tough gig to get that placing. So, yeah, it's a good question.
And some big meetings coming up as well in Australia over the winter. So we've talked about the Australian Championships, which is obviously your main focus, and you know, New South Wales. But also Darcy Ward's putting a few big ones on as well, isn't he? Including the Centenary Championship, which, of course, Speedway 100 years old and originated in Australia. They put this big lineup together of some big stars, you know, Ty Woffenden, Jason Doyle, Max Frick, Dan Bewley, Jacob Hook, Adam Ellis, Rasmus Jensen, Chris Holder, Declan Kennedy, who's one of those upcoming names that we touched on, Ryan Douglas, Rowan Tungate, Jamin Lidsey, Brady Kurtz, Keenan Rue, Sam Masters, and Tate Zischke, all coming through the ranks. And that's going to be a big meeting. And the Oceania Championships as well, not sure if you're involved in that one, but that's, again, going to have, you know, almost like you say, a Grand Prix lineup.
Yeah, it's looking good for the off season. There's some big meetings coming up, and yeah, like you say, that 100th anniversary meeting should be a good one. And yeah, even the Aussie title series, it's going to be another solid setup again, and everyone wants to win it. So, you know, it's good for even you guys over here can see some streams and stuff now, which is good. Like, not back in the day, it was, you didn't see much at all about it all, but it's been good with Darcy and a few other, you know, people promoting the sport back home, and which is good, because, you know, we've got some good riders obviously out there, and it'd be good to see, you know, the Australian Speedway kind of grow a bit more and be a bit more, you know, seen, I suppose, to the world. And yeah, with those boys going back home to ride in a few meetings, it's only a good thing, I say.
Maybe a bit of disappointment that the Grand Prix didn't head to Australia this time round, but certainly it's on the agenda, you fancy, and that will be great once again to get, you know, the very top level event into somewhere in Australia.
Yeah, let's hope so. You know, it's been a few years now, and I mean, they've been talking about it for a couple of years as well, but yeah, to be honest, I know they were interested in it coming back to Aussie, but as far as, yeah, I don't know any more than that, to be honest. So, yeah, like you said, hopefully it happens. It's only going to be a good thing, and a good thing for Aussie Speedway as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to see that. Now, Australia is a very big place, and I think for many people in the United Kingdom who have not ventured there and only see it on a map, maybe don't quite realise the scale. And there are some images online that you can see Australia superimposed onto Europe. And so from the west coast would be a good couple of hundred miles into the Atlantic Ocean on the west side, and then through to the east, it goes across to the far side of Ukraine, into Russia. And from the top point, you're talking the Arctic Circle, and from the bottom, you're sort of in line with Spain and Turkey. So you can imagine that. That's how big Australia is. A big place. Now, as a speedway rider, you have to travel around this in about, what, space about 10 days or so, covering thousands and thousands of miles, and it's a long way to cover. You know, to do that, obviously, a lot of the stuff has to go by land. You can maybe go by plane for some of it, but a lot of it goes by land. And I think Josh Pickering said it was something like 3,000 kilometres. It's a long old way.
Yeah, Pickering's a little stats man, he'd know. But yeah, it's from Brisbane all the way down to the bottom in Adelaide. It's like 24 hours or something in between. And yeah, five different tracks and yeah, over 10, 12 days or whatever it is. So there's a lot of miles to be covered, and yeah, it is pretty cool. You know, everyone's going in a big convoy, really. You know, next to the next place, and so on. So yeah, it's where about where I live. It's kind of in between, which is not too bad. So we kind of head up to the Brisbane first, and then work our way kind of back down, and yeah, end up in Adelaide. And yeah, like you say, it's a big, big mission. You know, you're carrying a lot of tires between me and Zach. Obviously, we've got four tires or whatever it is, a meeting, and times two. So you're carrying a lot of stuff around, and yeah, we kind of just probably, well, I haven't really made up a bit of a plan yet, but I'd probably try and stop at home, you know, a couple of times and do bikes there and reload with everything and keep going on the road again. So yeah, hopefully make it past the first round, like unlike last year. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
And I think what might also be surprising is that you don't have bikes ready and waiting for you there. So your bike or some of your gear needs to go from the UK back to Australia for you to ride over there. So what are you doing? Are you sending whole bikes back, or just engines, or how's it all work, the logistics?
Yeah, send engines and two engines back home, and obviously carbies and gear bags. And yeah, it becomes pretty expensive, you know. It's not cheap to send engines. Send them home and then send them back, you know. It's every year, it is a big cost. But unfortunately last year, you know, I sent an engine home and it didn't make it home, and it's still gone. I lost an engine in the process. So yeah, little Apple AirTags, they're a savior this year. They're going in and be able to track it wherever it goes. But it's always a bit of a relief when you see them turn up, or either end. It's one less hassle you got to worry about.
Well, so hang on a minute. You lost an engine, an entire speedway engine that hasn't resurfaced since. That's got to be expensive. And, you know, in a speedway engine, you're looking thousands and thousands of pounds. I don't know, 5,000-6,000 sometimes. That's a big thing to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I bought an engine just before I went back home to last year for the Aussie titles, and yeah, pulled it out of the box and put it back in, labeled it up to send home. And that was the last I seen of it. I didn't even get to use it. So yeah, that was a big killer. You know, it's obviously painful enough to send everything home, and when one doesn't even make it home, it's that's the worst nightmare. But you know, we move on, and I've obviously invested in the little Apple AirTags. They're pretty cool, whacking all the gear, and just a peace of mind if it does go missing. You know where it is at least.
Apple AirTags to the rescue. Ben Cook of the Pool Pirates is with me on Humans of Speedway. And in the next part, we'll talk about making that move from the other side of the world to Wimborne Road on the way next on Humans of Speedway.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Welcome back to Humans of Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan. And in this episode, we're chatting to Ben Cook of the Poole Pirates and the Peterborough Panthers in 2023, and the Poole Pirates captain in 2024, and lining up in the Sports Insure Premiership for... you'll have to wait for that one. Not quite yet. Fear not, he will be there somewhere. We've got some great guests on the way on Humans of Speedway in the coming weeks. The next episode, I can tell you now, will be with British Speedway and FIM Speedway Grand Prix referee Craig Aykroyd will be joining us. Craig Aykroyd has presided over some big, big moments in World Speedway. He's seen world champions crowned, and in fact, he prevented a world champion being crowned actually in 2023 in some kind of way, because he was the referee for that fixture where Bartosz Szmarszlik came out in the wrong race suit. Remember that? So we'll talk about that day and much more besides. Craig himself had a dabble at being a rider in his earlier days. That's where he wanted to be originally, rather than a referee. But we'll talk about that in next episode, and then the episode after that. Drum roll, please. Don't have a drum, so I've got a table. We have four-time world champion, one of the greatest riders of all time. He is an official FIM legend, Hans Nielsen. We'll be on Humans of Speedway in the coming weeks. Not messing about on Humans of Speedway in this series. We're going right to the top right now to Ben Cook. And Ben, we've talked about all what goes on in your early days in Australia as an Australian rider growing up, coming through the ranks and trying to get your shot over here. So you then qualify, and Matt Ford's on the phone, somebody who's got a lot of experience with Australian riders over the years. And, you know, put his faith in you, and you made that move to Wimborne Road and followed in the footsteps of the likes of Chris Holder and Darcy Ward and many others in the past, such as Jason Crump. Some big, big names have ridden in that Pirates race jacket.
Yeah, for sure. Like you mentioned, you know, so many Aussie boys have had some success here, and, you know, growing up, you always seen the Poole Pirates, and, you know, everyone kind of wanted to ride for them, and, yeah, I still remember, you know, I was at work when I got the message, and yeah, it was awesome. You know, it's a big thing, obviously, to get the message, but then, you know, got to put it into context. All right, we've got to try and work out how we're going to do this. You know, obviously, I've moving to the other side of the world, got no bikes, got no nothing, nowhere to live. It's just, you know, pretty much saying yes and trying to work around that, and. Yeah, it's been awesome here. You know, obviously living with Midlow for the last few years, and Susie, they're awesome. And it's a great place to live down here in Poole. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's a home away from home for me, having kind of like the family vibe. You know, it's a big thing at a kind of a young age just to pack up and leave for 8 months and try and navigate the world. And, yeah, but to be honest, it's been awesome, like I said, living here and riding for Poole. It couldn't have worked out any better to start my career.
Yeah, and then you've got this support as well, because you've got somewhere to stay. You live with Midlow, with Neil Middleditch and his family. And you're not the first Speedway rider to have done that. Your brother, of course, is there as well. But there is also this long history of riders over the years who've stayed at Bailey House, that it's called, and not only lived there, but had their workshops there as well. Talking like people like Tony Rickardson, to be one, you know, Jason Crump, you've got Chris Holder, Darcy Ward, Brady Kurtz, yourself. You know, I'm just picking names off the top of my head here, but they've all lived and had their workshops there. And, you know, it's a real... There's not a bigger Speedway house, surely, in the world that's got all this Speedway memorabilia all over the place. And you must have some great conversations with Midlow about sometimes in the past.
Oh, you know, it's Midlow's got a million stories and yarns about everything. And like you say, obviously the workshops here of the old the cafe now, it used to be even Midlow's workshop back in the day, and I think Chris's at some point. And where I'm in, Darcy was there, Brady was there, all the walls have got people signed and everything. Like you say, the house is just, full of memorabilia and photos, and it's just a Speedway house, and you think you've heard him all, but he's always got a new one. But, he's awesome. We even beyond Speedway, we go playing golf, and, it's just a kind of a normal vibe, and it's not just all about Speedway. You got to have a bit of fun as well. And we go down the pub playing darts, it's good, like I said, it could be terrible, jammed up in a little townhouse somewhere and no workshop and no nothing like that. So, I am grateful for where I am here, and, it's awesome.
And a former guest on this podcast, going back a few years actually, Scott Mitchell, former darts world champion. He's a big Pool Pirates fan. He does the commentary on the live stream. But I gather you've had some darts matches against him as well.
Yeah, he loves watching the Speedway, and he obviously loves being around the pits. But when I played some darts with him, that's when I was impressed, we just picked up some random darts at the track there, and he was throwing some 180s, and it is pretty cool. It's tougher than what it looks like to throw the perfect darts, but obviously he's achieved a lot himself in his career, and it is pretty cool. He's obviously loves the Speedway and interested in that, and I've watched him play the darts and stuff before, so it was pretty cool to throw some darts, and he can teach me a few tricks, because it is tough.
Well, I guess if it was easy, everybody would be world champion, and that's not the case. So you've alluded to a couple of things there then. So that's the sort of stuff that you like to get up to. You sometimes have some quite big breaks between meetings, I suppose, as well. So what are your pastimes over here in the UK?
Yeah, obviously do the golf whenever I can. That's, at the start of the year, we had a bit of time, obviously, like you say, between rain-offs and stuff. But, the last few months, it's been flat chart. I have hardly had many days off between me doing my own bikes as well. When I did get a day off, it was good to kind of do nothing. But, even now, this is the time when you got time to do stuff. But obviously, the weather hasn't been playing much help to that, but there's obviously the bike track out the back. Go to the driving range, or on the push bikes or something. But back home in Aussie, do a bit of fishing and stuff like that. Anything really outdoors.
And looking ahead to 2024, then you're making plans right now. Obviously, you're going back to Australia, but when you come back, you have an idea of where you're going to be, you're all sorted, and are you venturing further into Europe, and is Poland, as it is with many Australian riders, sort of increasing in a bit of importance for you now?
Yeah, still sorting everything out, to be honest. Kind of just wanted to get through the last couple of meetings, and then really work out what I've got to do, and what really suits for where I'm going to be at, and hopefully be back at Pool. That's where I want to be as well in there, and not sure in the top league yet, still kind of working it all out, but hopefully something comes up in Poland, and that's ultimately where I want to be, and that's where you got to be if you want to be the best. So I just need to get the foot in the door out there and show what I can do, but sometimes it is difficult to get out there and show what you can do, but hopefully it happens, sooner rather than later. So, we'll see what happens.
Obviously, a lot of competition now, but, in Poland, the Extra Liga, I think, are looking after the second tier as well now, aren't they? So they've sort of expanded their empire, if you like, and the level of competition is, I think the Premiership perhaps here is probably in line with the first division in Poland, would you say? And then really Extra Liga is more like Grand Prix level, isn't it, really, to be fair?
Yeah, it's obviously, those tracks out there are big and round and fast, and get a good engine under them, and away they go. But, you know, most of them second division boys, you put them on a track here in UK, and it's a different ball game over here in UK. Obviously, you got to learn to ride the bike more, turn the bike. The conditions aren't always the same. It's sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know out there. So it is tough to get a job or, you know, a ride or to show what you can do. But yeah, hopefully it does happen for me. You know, that's, like I said before, that's where I want to be. So yeah, it's tough.
How much do you think your build comes into it? Because there's this thing where people talk about the modern day speedway rider, and obviously you've got to be fit and athletic and all that kind of stuff, but the weight comes into it quite a lot, and I think it's 68 kilos or something like around that mark is the ideal sort of bike to weight ratio. And you know, Dan Bewley can tick that box, Emil Saifutinov, Bardos Schmarschlik, and you know, Vadim Tarasenko, just a few riders off the top of my head, who are all sort of, you know, 5 foot something and fairly slight characters. And you probably fit that bracket as well. You're not the tallest rider and not the heaviest. And that actually is a strength for you in this modern era.
Every year over there, you know, those boys are trying to come up with something to make the bikes a bit lighter. And, you know, every nut and bolt's trying to, you know, get everything as light as possible to reduce that. Obviously, the tracks are so big, and they're trying to come up with that little 1% that someone else doesn't have, you know, and that's what wins you big meetings, world championships. You know, you got to have something that someone else doesn't have, you know, and, but like you say, you know, weight to ratio, whatever it is. But, yeah, obviously being so light, it's definitely a positive for sure. You know, some of them boys might be 10 kilos heavier than me, or, you know, and that's a lot. You put that on the back of a bike and, yeah, you certainly know what's on there. So, yeah, it's definitely a positive thing being small, you know. It's those boys are on proper strict diets, trying to get down as little body fat and as much as they can, and where, you know, I'm naturally smaller, so it's definitely one up that they mightn't have. So yeah, but like I said, hopefully in the near future I can get out there and show what I can do.
In theory, the best part of your career is still a few years ahead. So looking further down the line then, what is the dream for you, Ben Cook, in Speedway? Where do you see yourself, and you know, what's the aim?
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to be world champion, don't they? That's every kid's dream. So obviously that's up there. But probably just to ride at the highest level, you know, in Poland and against the best riders, that's probably the next best. But yeah, it's kind of a bit of a stepping stone, a ladder. You got to keep climbing that ladder, and each year you keep progressing, and hopefully one day, you know, I'll get to that chance. And but yeah, just keep crossing the bridges, climbing the ladder, and see where we end up.
Keep on keeping on. Ben Cook on Humans of Speedway. And in the next part of the podcast, we're going to have a look at how Ben Cook's dream Speedway meeting might look, including his all-time 1-7, and much more besides, coming up in the next part of Humans of Speedway.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome along to Humans of Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan, and great to have you joining us. Now, if you haven't checked out some of the previous episodes and you happen to be a Pool Pirates fan because you're listening to this Ben Cook episode, there's much more Pool Pirates-based content for you to go at. I mean, fair play. A lot of people have ridden for the Pool Pirates in the past. The previous one to this was with Alan Rossiter. Recently, also, we've spoken to Danny King, Steve Worrell. Both of those riders, actually previous captains of the Pool Pirates, as Ben Cook steps into those shoes. Also spoken with Justin Sedgman, Dave Rowe from Eurosport, Adam Roynan, and Paul Bowen, talking about electric speedway. And you might go, oh, I'm not into all that, all the no noise and no fumes. But find out why you need not fear, and why actually it could help produce more talent, just like Ben Cook, in the future. Check that out at your leisure. Many more episodes besides as well. Now, in this final part, and something we've done throughout the podcast more often than not, not every single time, but most times, we get our guests' dream Speedway meeting and a real sense of how Speedway would look if they had their choice. So we're going to find out perfect 1-7, dream opposition, and we're going to start by talking about tracks. And Ben, you've ridden many tracks already in your career, but if you were to single out one track, and we're going to have this dream testimonial of yours on any track, based purely on the racing, don't worry about the other facilities and stuff like that, we're talking just about the track, where would you have it, Ben? What's your favourite track to race on?
Well, to be honest, I've only ridden in the UK, so I haven't even ridden any of these big, you know, stadium tracks in Poland. But I mean, from looking, and I went to Warsaw this year, I'd have to say probably that stadium and track and atmosphere would have to be right up there. There wouldn't be much better feeling than that.
Yeah, well, you're answering the first two questions in one go there. So the Warsaw track from the Grand Prix in the Narodowy Stadium, as it is. And, yeah, it's a bit slightly wider than Cardiff's been up until now, because I think the Cardiff track is due to be the same dimensions as the Warsaw one this year. So it's going to be wider at Cardiff. There'll be a bit more overtaking chances in 2024. So that's something to look forward to. But I guess when you're into any of those big stadiums with a ludicrous amount of people in 50,000 people cheering on a speedway race, it's rare to see, isn't it? But I guess as a rider, you know, that must be the dream there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I went to Warsaw this year and, you know, packed out stadium and... you know, half the stadium had white and half the stadium had red. And, you know, when the anthem come on, it looked like a big Polish flag around the stadium. And just little details like that was pretty cool. And, yeah, it's all, you know, so compact and small and so many fans just cheering and yelling. So, yeah, like I said, there wouldn't be much better feeling as a rider to experience that. So I'd have to say that'd be, you know, that'd be your dream setup.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And hopefully, you know, some more venues around the world, and maybe in a big stadium in Australia at some point as well. That'd be even cooler, I imagine. Let's look at your dream 1-7 then, your dream team. Now, no rules, no points limits. Can be any rider from any era, alive or not, and you can have seven of them. So, Ben Cook, who's in your dream team?
Tough one, isn't it? Probably have to go Hancock, Rickardson, Crumpy, Lee Adams maybe as well in there. Yeah, if it's a team set up, probably Darcy and Chris back in the day. They were obviously pretty special to watch as a team, riders. World champion, Smarzik, I suppose. Yeah, we'll whack him in there.
I'd say it's not a bad lineup, and it's not a bad Pool Pirates lineup either, to be fair, is it? Where you've got Greg Hancock, Crumpy, Tony Rickardson, Lee Adams, Darcy Ward, Chris Holder, and Bartosz Szmarszlik. It's I think it might do all right.
We'll run that.
Yeah, I think it'll go down okay. Right, okay, you're going to change something about Speedway now. You're in charge of British Speedway for a moment. So what would be the thing that you would either do away with or introduce to the world of Speedway? Either be it British Speedway or World Speedway. What would be the thing?
I mean, back in the day when I was obviously not in the top league, I really hated the rising star kind of thing. In the top league, because it was, you know, generally taking a job or a position away from someone who was really deserving of it. I mean, in my eyes, if you got to kind of earn your ride in the team, and it was frustrating from back in the day when you could see people that were racing that top league and you knew you were better than them and you couldn't get a gig. But that's British. They want to help the British get in, you know, and progress, so I understand that as well. So, you know, we understand that we're not British. We don't, they're going to get more opportunities than we are. But, you know, in that sense as well, you know, I still go back to what I said before. If you got to earn your ride, if you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And it is taking away positions from someone who might really deserve it. So, I mean, there is different leagues for all that. You know, you got your three leagues. So if you're not up to that standard, you're not up that standard. Simple.
Okay. Let's move on to referees then. You always sort of strike me generally as a safe rider, sort of keep yourself out of trouble and go about your business without any incident. But do you get on with referees? Is there a particular referee that you would single out that you would choose over the rest?
No, not really. Like you said, I haven't had too many dramas. Obviously had some, you know, calls go against you that, you know, you might have a bit of an opinion about sometimes, but on the whole front, nah, to be honest, I haven't got any bad words to say. But obviously there's been a couple decisions, you know, in the last couple finals meetings that have been a bit, how you going? But, you know, at the end of the day, they got to make a decision under pressure and, I don't have too much to say about it all.
Okay. Well, you know, best to keep yourself out of trouble where the referees are concerned. Finally, if you were going to single out an entire team from history that would race against your all-star 1-7, in theory, in Warsaw, in front of a packed crowd, who would that team be? It could be any complete team from history.
To be honest, like, I don't have a, you know, big knowledge on a lot of teams. Obviously, it's only been here a few years, but I have seen some videos that have been here, you know, I found and thrown on back in 03, 04 of pool, and I think it might have been 03 was a pretty solid team. I think there was Ricardson, Adams, who else was in there? Maybe Loran. But, yeah, they were a pretty solid team back in the day, so maybe them.
Yeah, good side. Ryan Fisher, Gary Stead in there as well. The Pool Pirates 2003, good choice. And, well, of course, it had to be a Pool Pirates side as well, didn't it? One final question then for you, Ben. You alluded to this earlier. I know that it is a pastime of yours. Can I ask, are you into fish?
From Aussie? I don't think I know too many from here.
There can be any fish, and all you've got to do is name as many different types of fish as you can in 30 seconds. The only rule is no whales and no dolphins. They're mammals, they're not fish. And so it's 30 seconds on the clock, and away you go. If you're ready, we shall begin.
Contenders ready. It's the fish game.
Okay, go.
Carp, yellow belly, silver perch, Murray cod, snapper, whiting, flathead, brim, red emperor, trout, pike, what else we got, redfin, shark, it's a fish. I'm going to kick myself over that. I went blank.
a lot of people go blank midway through. I call it fisherman's block. But hey, you did well. You beat Roscoe from last week. You got 12 fish in 30 seconds, which, you know, it's a solid effort. It's a solid effort.
It's a benchmark, but I mean, someone will pay that.
Yeah, we'll see how we go through the course of the season. But you are currently the leader, so well done, Ben Cook, with your 12 fish.
We might have to have a go again, another go one day.
Yeah, always a chance to come back and try your hand again sometime. Well, look, thanks for joining us, Ben. It's been great having a chat with you. Well done for everything you've achieved so far in the last few years, certainly in the UK, and no doubt onwards and upwards into 2024 and even greater responsibilities with the Pool Pirates as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been good, but yeah, like you said, it's yeah, dream start, and long may it continue.
Ben Cook of the Pool Pirates, and no doubt other locations to be announced in due course on Humans of Speedway, but he'll certainly be lining up for the Pool Pirates in the Championship in 2024, and he'll be leading the Pirates as well, donning that famous race jacket as captain next year. So congratulations to Ben Cook. Thanks to you for listening to this episode of Humans of Speedway. Check out some of those previous episodes whenever you can. As I say, there's lots to go through. Again, on a pool note, Alan Rossiter, Danny King, Steve Worrell. We've also had Adam Roynan, who of course started this year's season and spent much of the season with the Pirates in 2023. Also, we've got plenty of interviews from the past couple of years, actually, the likes of Chris Louie, David Howe, who's recently been appointed at the time of recording this as team manager of the Scunthorpe Scorpions, and many others as well. Looking forward, though, we've got more episodes to come here on Humans of Speedway. The next one will be with Craig Aykroyd, who's a top British referee and one of the referees on the Speedway Grand Prix circuit as well. And he's had some very big decisions to make in his career, so we're finding out about life in the referee's box in the next one. And then after that, it will be Hans Nielsen, I think. He's certainly on the way soon, so look out for that. That's going to be a mega one. Before the end of 2023, and we'll join you soon on the next episode of Humans of Speedway.
Sports Social Podcast Network.